Welcome to Through the Bible with Les Felder, a 30-minute walk through the Scriptures, teaching in-depth Bible truth to change people's lives. Now, here's your host, Les Felder.
Okay, I guess we're ready to go. And like I've said before, I always wait for that red light to come on, and then I feel safe and going. And again, I trust you've all had your coffee break, and we're ready to hit the second half hour this afternoon. We are now in the last part of Book 68, so for those of you that may want to order this program, just tell the girls that, we'll have Book 68 ready to mail out. And again, we always like to welcome new listeners. We know we get them every day and every week. We're just an informal Bible study. We don't try to push the thoughts of men or denominations. We just try to show what the book says. And we find that if people will just simply search it out, don't have to listen to what I say, if they'll just simply search it in the Scriptures, they call back. And I'll never forget one fellow called from Columbus, Ohio, and all he could say was, "It's awesome." I said, "Well, what's awesome?" He said, "The way God opened my eyes." He said, "I've never seen this before." And so that's my whole argument. You don't have to go by what I say, but take a look at the book with an open mind and get off of those denominational traditions, and maybe you'll be just as amazed as he was. Okay, let's go right back to where we left off in our last program. And we're on the but now in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. But let's go back and review verse 12, because that's what we covered basically in that first half hour. Why were the Gentiles left in such a spiritual darkness? Well, for 2,000 years, the whole race of Adam walked everything underfoot in rebellion and wickedness. And finally, God says, "I'm going to do something totally different. I'm going to call out one little nation of people. I'm going to bless them. I'm going to put them above all the other nations of the world, and I'll work through them to bring salvation to the human race." And that's what we showed, hopefully, in that last program, how that everything was Jew, 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 until finally, on the road to Damascus, God struck down Saul of Tarsus, and then as we closed our program, he went in and told Ananias, "I'm going to send this man, Saul of Tarsus, far hence to the Gentiles," which, of course, to a Jew was anathema to have to deal with those pagan, morally and physically filthy Gentiles. All right, back to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, that at that time, the time we talked about in those last 30 minutes, while God was dealing only with the Jew and the nation of Israel, you Gentiles, I got to put that in, coming out of verse 11, you Gentiles were without Christ, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. In other words, they had no rights. You were strangers from the covenants of promise. They had nothing to do with them. You were having no hope and without God in the world. Well, someone just shared with me now at break time over our coffee that he remembers a fellow years back who has now gone on into eternity, that when somebody read this verse in a Sunday school class, he just blatantly said, "I don't believe that." Well, we hear it all the time from our listening audience where they show some of these things to pastors or Sunday school teachers, and the response is, "I can't believe that." But, beloved, it's the Word of God. And if you can't believe one verse, you might as well throw the whole thing away, because then it all falls apart. But this is what it says, that the Gentiles were left destitute of anything spiritual until their day would come. All right? So they were without God in the world. Now verse 13, that's one of our key words. But now. But what does it mean? This side of the cross. On this side of the death, burial, and resurrection of Israel's Messiah, it's a whole new ballgame. All right, read the verse. But now, in Christ Jesus, you Gentiles, who were at one time far off spiritually, are now what? Made nigh By what? The blood of Christ. Now, let's stop and analyze a minute. What was the message that God laid upon this next apostle to take not to Israel so much, but to the Gentile world? All right, go ahead a chapter. Ephesians chapter 3. And see, Paul is always emphasizing that he is the apostle of the Gentiles. The 12 were apostles of Israel. And isn't it amazing? That's what Christendom hangs on today, for the most part. The four Gospels, the ministry of Peter, James, and John. And I call it a satanic deception, because that's not where our Gospel lies. Our Gospel lies in Paul's epistles. All right, you got Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1? For this cause, in other words, what he just has been saying in chapter 2, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for whom? Gentiles. Now, your Bible says that just as well as mine. His apostleship was directed primarily, not exclusively, but primarily to the Gentile world. All right? Now, verse 2. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me, to you word. Now, you see, there's not a word in there about the kingdom. You remember the verse I read in the last program where Jesus went into the synagogue and he preached the gospel of the kingdom? Paul never does. Why? It's a whole new program. Now Paul is being given the authority and the opportunity to open up the dispensation of the grace of God. Now, Jim and I were just talking the other day, since he's been out here visiting, about various definitions of this word dispensation. Well, I gave him one that he hadn't heard before, and he said, Les, I like that one the best of all. And I've shared it at one time or another that it's tied to the word dispensing a prescription. Same root word. A dispensation is a dispensing. All right, now what does a dispensation dispense? Certain directions or instructions for a particular period of time. Now, when God gave Moses the law, you see, it was a dispensation. God dispensed all the ramifications for that time that Israel would be under the law, from 1500 B.C. until we get to the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9. They had their simple set of directions. All right, now Paul comes along with a whole new set of directions, and that is, you believe that Christ died for you, he shed his blood, and that he was buried, and he rose from the dead the third day, and you'll be saved. That's the directions for this dispensation. Now, I made the point with Jim. How would you react if you had a bottle of medicine for, we'll say, some heart disease 5 years ago, and now you have maybe some other malady, whatever it might be, maybe a muscle or something, and you get a new prescription? Well, what good would it do you for today's trouble if you go back and take the pill out of your heart bottle and follow those directions? Well, you're in trouble. You have to follow the directions of the prescription that was given to you for today. See that? All right, now that's exactly what most of Christians are doing. They're taking the medications and the directions from a past dispensation and they're trying to shove it into this one. And I stand adamantly against that. We are going to follow the instructions that God dispensed to the Gentile world, not what he gave to Israel. And we're going to follow the prescription that God gave to the Apostle Paul. All right, and that's what he's talking about here. Now, verse 3. How that by revelation, a spontaneous revealing of things totally different. You're not under law, you're under grace. All right, reading on. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. Now, that's a word that Paul uses throughout his epistles. And what's the other word for mystery? The secret. And that's God's prerogative. He's sovereign. You know, I'm always referring to Deuteronomy 29:29. We don't have to look at it. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. But those things that are revealed belong to us. So when do they belong to us? When God reveals it, not before. All right, now all these things that are revealed to the Apostle Paul were kept secret. Never can you find it in the Old Testament. You can't find one iota of it in the four Gospels and the first nine chapters or eight chapters of Acts. It's not in there. But all these instructions now come from the pen of this apostle. All right, let's go on. Verse 4. Whereby when you read, that is, these instructions for this dispensation, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery or the secrets of Christ. The things that God kept secret until he revealed it to this apostle. All right, now another verse comes to mind. Keep your hand in Ephesians and come back to Romans. Come back to Romans. Chapter 16, verse 25. You know, I made comment of this one time at one of my large seminars. I think we had, I don't know, hundreds of people. And I just asked the question, have you ever heard this verse in a Sunday morning sermon text? And as we read it, I want you to ask the same thing. Have I ever heard this used in a Sunday morning sermon? And you know what? Out of those 700-800 people, not one. Not one. And that's typical. All right, look what it says. Romans 16, verse 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. That's another one of Paul's favorite terms. My gospel, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, the secret. Not according to his earthly ministry, not according to his miracles, but according to the revelation of things that have been kept secret. And how long have they been kept secret? Since the world began. That's plain English. But all people don't want to buy it. No, they'd rather stay back in his earthly ministry. Now I'll show you what Paul says about that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And here's another instance. The young man was visiting a taping here one day not too long ago. And he came up and shared with me voluntarily that he showed this verse to his pastor, and he got the same result I just mentioned a moment ago. The guy just said, I'll never believe that. Isn't that amazing? And you know why they don't want to believe it? Because it flies in the face of what they've been preaching. But all right, you got 2 Corinthians chapter 5? Oh, we almost have to start at verse 14. Now, Jim knows that none of this was in my preparation. I'm sorry, but when I get led aside, I just can't stop. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge or come to conclusion that if one died for all, then were all dead. In other words, when Christ died for every human being, it was because every human being needed his saving grace. All right, now then, verse 15. And that he died for all, that they who live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him who died for them and rose again. What's that? Paul's gospel. Now, verse 16. This is the verse they don't like. Wherefore? Henceforth, in other words, from the time of the revelation of these secrets until the end of the age of grace. Wherefore, henceforth, we know no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth, from this time forward, we know him no more. Now, goodness sake, what's he talking about? Christ's earthly ministry. His earthly ministry. Because you've got to remember, Paul is about the same age as Christ. And at the time that Jesus was ministering to Israel with all of his signs and wonders and miracles, and he saw the crowds, I can just see this little Pharisaical Jew, just almost angry to the point of exploding on the perimeter of all this, just being irritated by what he heard. Because this was all flying in the face of his religion. And so that's what he's referring to. Yeah, I knew Christ in his earthly ministry. Of course he did. But now, no. We don't base our salvation on Christ's earthly ministry. Most of Christendom does. But we don't. Paul didn't. And that's why I keep hammering away on Paul's gospel. And men and women don't like it. We've had it evidenced over and over. All right, let's come back to Romans again, if you will. And now that I'm on this track, I might as well carry on. Romans chapter 2, verse 16. And this is Scripture, beloved. This is the Word of God. And if any verse fails to be the Word of God, then it all falls apart. But look what the Holy Spirit inspired this apostle to write in chapter 2, verse 16 of Romans. In the day, we're talking about the great white throne judgment day. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, who will be the judge on the great white throne. And what are they going to be judged according? My gospel. Paul's gospel. Read it again. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. And then they're going to ignore it and let millions of people go to that great white throne judgment, lost for all eternity. That's what's coming. Because they refuse to recognize what we call Paul's gospel. All right. I think that's sufficient in Romans. Let's come back a moment to Ephesians chapter 3, where we just took off, that we settle it forever. That when God turned from Israel and delegated this man to be the apostle of the Gentiles, and that now everything is not going to be based on temple worship and the Mosaic law and baptism and you name it. It's going to be according to Paul's gospel, which is the work of the cross. The work of the cross. How that Christ, the Son of God, the Creator of everything, went to that Roman cross, died, shed his blood, was buried 3 days and three nights, and arose from the dead. That's the gospel. Plus nothing. But all people don't want to buy that. They want to work for it. No, you don't. God won't have it. All right, come back to Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 5. Which in other ages, or in other generations, was not made known. See how plain this makes it? It was never mooted that God would one day go to the cross and bring in salvation for the whole human race. All right, so in other ages it was not made known to the sons of men as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets. Now you got to remember, Paul had other men that became prophets and so forth. You had Timothy and Titus and Barnabas and Silas. He's not talking about the Old Testament prophets here. He's talking about those who were in consort with him in this revelation of these things kept secret. All right. Verse 6. Here it comes again. That the who? Gentile. See the difference? For 2,000 years it was that Israel. Behold, the Lord saith to Israel. But now it's all flipped over, but now it's Gentiles. Verse 6 again. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, the body of Christ, and be partakers of his promise in Christ, not by works, not by a baptism, not by a tongues, but by what? The gospel. Well, I guess that's the place to stop, isn't it, Sharon? To go to the gospel. 1 Corinthians First Corinthians, and I've said it over and over, I am just amazed. I can't understand it. Why you hardly ever hear or see people use this definition of the gospel. It's the plainest in all of Scripture. And I can read tract after tract after tract, and they don't use it. I can read church bulletins, and on the back page they'll say, how to be saved. They never use it. Why? Can't comprehend it. But here it is. I share it every chance I get. When we were in Greece, I was just looking at the travelogue last night, and I shared with Jim. I had a chance to share this gospel with two of the female guides we had. They were secular. They had no religion background. And the one girl actually started crying, and she said, why are you sharing this with me? I said, because I don't want you to go to a lost eternity. That's all. I said, this isn't any notches in my gun that I've won a Turkish girl. But I said, I want to keep you from an eternal doom. But I shared this gospel. All right, here it is. 1 Corinthians 15, starting at verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. Now, this is Paul speaking. Which also you have received and wherein you stand. That's why he could call them brethren. Now, these were pagan Gentiles not too far back. But he's calling them brethren. Why? Because they're believers of this gospel. All right, verse 2. Now, you can't get it any plainer than this. By which you are what? Saved. Is that a biblical word? All the way through. Salvation. Being saved. All right, this gospel saves. By which also you are saved, if you keep in memory or understand what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. You have to know what you believe. You have to take it by faith. See? Now, here comes the gospel. This is the heart of the matter. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. In other words, on the road to Damascus, and then later on is 3 years in the desert. That which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and He arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's Paul's gospel. And then they'll write once more, well, you make too much of Paul. Why? Because I lift up Paul's gospel? And like Paul said in one place, I didn't die for you. Of course not. But he lifts up that crucified, buried and risen Savior over and over. You can't read much of Paul without seeing a reference to his death, burial, and resurrection. All right, back to Ephesians once again. Our hour is just about gone, isn't it? Back to Ephesians, where we just were, chapter 3. I'm still on the concept that now, on this side of the cross, but especially after the revelation of the mysteries to the Apostle Paul, the Gentile comes full flower into the opportunity for eternal salvation. With no strings attached. And again, when the vast majority of Gentiledom comes before the great white throne, will they have an excuse? No. No, God hasn't withheld salvation from the Gentile world ever since the Apostle Paul. But are they rejecting it just as much? Sure they are. It's no different. My, I made a point of it, I think, in my seminar in Minnesota last week. Do you realize that all through Scripture, it's only a small percentage that God keeps for Himself? In Isaiah chapter 1, in the midst of Israel, the covenant people, Isaiah says it's only a very small remnant of righteous. And poor old Elijah thought he was the only one. But God said, no, Elijah, I've got 7,000. And you've heard me say it 100 times. 7,000 on the surface sounds like a good bunch of people. But what was it out of 7 million? 1/10 of 1%. 1 out of 1,000. That's all. And then I put the frosting on the cake, if I can use that expression, when Jesus came along and he says, broad is the way and wide is the gate that leadeth to what? Destruction. And narrow is the way and straight is the gate that leadeth to life. And how many go in? Few. Few go in therein. And listen, that's a fact of Scripture. The multitudes are missing it. And it's not God's fault. Because this gospel is so simple, it's so free, it's so available, but they'll do everything but preach it. Unbelievable. All right, now back to Ephesians. Verse 8 again. Unto me. Ephesians 3, verse 8. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given. Now, when they say Paul is arrogant and puffed up, that's not what this verse shows. He didn't claim to be the greatest, although he was. He claimed to be the least. All right? Unto me, who am the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see, including the Jew, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery or the secret. And hear it again. How long has it been kept secret? Which hath been hid in God from the beginning of the world. God never revealed this back in Genesis or through any of the rest of the Old Testament. It was absolutely kept secret. That's why Peter, James, and John didn't understand it. And if they did, then John 20 is a lie. Because John 20, it says that John as yet understood not that Christ should be buried. Well, if it was all the way back in the Old Testament, why didn't he know it? Well, it wasn't. The whole thing was kept secret until it was revealed to this apostle. All right, so again, I guess we've only got a few seconds left. Verse 10, to the intent, or to the final purpose, that now unto the principalities and powers in the heavenlies, not Satan's principality and power, but the heavenly principalities and powers, might be known by the church, which of course is the body of Christ, according to Paul, that all these things by the body of Christ might know the manifold wisdom of God.
Thank you for watching Through the Bible with Les Feldick. Through the Bible is a partner-supported ministry. If this program has been a help to your study of the Scriptures and you'd like to see others enjoy the teaching, your support would be greatly appreciated. Write to us at Les Feldick Ministries, 30706 West Lona Valley Road, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. Or call 1-800-369-7856. Remember, all programs are available in printed form, audio cassette, and videotape. Be sure to tune in next time to Through the Bible with Les Feldick.